The production has been done 9 times. Everywhere it's been done, it has forced us to re-examine and re-evaluate a masterpiece. And I think that's part of the duty of an opera company, is not just to put a museum piece up there and protect it, but to incorporate the ideas of today and be able to be that bit of a mirror up to society that theater has the potential to be.
It's a perfect tragedy in that everyone loses. I think it's a story that everyone can identify because it's about hope and it's about what we wish to be true in our hearts versus what is true to the outside.
Production by Francesca Zambello, and we are standing in Sharpless's office at the U.S. Consulate in Nagasaki in 1904. We are not at the house of Higashi Hill.
Madame Butterfly is this conflict between East versus West, and Francesca Zambello was very clear about that when she set about creating the production, and I believe that all of the decisions honor that, that we've made in the course of the production's life, starting with the scenery, which tries to incorporate Western versus Eastern ideas and architecture in different ways. And then in terms of presenting the piece and how we deal with stillness and what are considered sort of Asian aesthetics as opposed to sort of the outlandish, adventurous American Yankee vagabondo ideas. The Western world is represented by the consul Sharpless, and it takes place in his office. We're still in Nagasaki, we're still in 1904, but the little house on the hill has now changed into the Western world because it's Chocho-san who's arriving into this new culture. She's marrying into it. She trusts it. So we have a very, you know, office-like setting, ceiling fans, desks, things that you don't usually associate with opera, and certainly not Puccini operas. He wanted, you know, sort of lush, exotic surroundings, and you hear that in the score. So we've had to find ways to interpret little bits and pieces that are traditionally done one way. You know, is it a knock on the door? Well, no, now it's a rap of a cane on the floor. Is it, you know, a door in a house? Well, no, it's a small model of the house that he has bought, sort of Goro's salesman's prop. Getting the idea that the Americans took this as a joke, and Chocho-san takes it very, very seriously. And then you unfold into this beautiful aesthetic that Michael Juergens created with simple, clean lines and maple wood and a horizon by Alan Burritt, the lighting designer, that works like a watercolor to just take us through the moods and the emotions.
Do you think it helps to have Asian singers, given they have the voices, singing Asian roles, or does it matter?
We have to deal with the fact that it has to be sung over a certain number of orchestra players, and it is very Italian, and there are some things about the piece musically and dramatically that are in direct contradiction with one another. I mean, these big, luscious Italian lines are not exactly what I would describe as typically Asian expression of this kind of character. So those things, I don't care if you're Asian or not, those things are already in contradiction. we are people of the theater. I never get to play who I really am on stage. I always have to play another character. So we have to act. And as Garnett says, there's makeup and costumes and everything to create the illusion.
We have Patricia Rosette here to sing the role of Cho-Cho-San. She did her first Cho-Cho-Sans in this production with us in Houston in 2004. Since then, she's gone on to Los Angeles and New York. She did the Met HD broadcast last month. And you'll get a chance to hear her up close and personal.
Every single time you do it, it relies on the chemistry between Cho-Cho-San and the rest of the cast. And every artist brings a different energy with them.
So you're standing there. You're kneeling.
And then you are going to...
Good job. Yes, that's what I'm doing. Can you remember that? Because if you don't, I might end up tickling you for like an hour.
Whenever I play any character, and as you said, you've got to find a bit of yourself in there. There ain't no 15-year-old geisha going on in here. But as many of my other butterfly colleagues in the history of time. But the truth of the matter is this is a woman of great strength and is able to adhere herself to that noble sense of strength and hope that she has inherent in her. And that's a quality that can exist in any culture and at any time period and therefore is translatable, in my opinion. And so that's something I hold on to in my idea of the character. Beginning of the opera, we see the foreignness, especially in this production. You see this the exoticism of what this person is. You really get to know who Cho-Cho-San is in Acts 2 and 3. And when you see her journey unfold and how she reacts to what looks like the inevitable, he's not coming back, he's probably been married, you know, you've given birth to a child that's now going to be called a bastard, and blah, blah, blah. And she holds on to that. But I also like to layer that with the reality of being human and fleshing out the character, really, by also there are moments, they albeit private, but there are moments of great doubt that slip in there. None of us can hold on hope 100% of the time. And I think that's what gives the character more depth and more believability and ultimately allows us all to relate, because that's what moves us in theater and art. Is when you can somehow see a piece of your story or something that you can understand up there or read it or experience it. And that's what moves us.
Pinkerton is a U.S. Navy lieutenant. Goro take this house in Japan to live with Madame Butterfly, this love story, the Japanese geisha who married. And he has also the possibility to break in this marriage contract in any time. Also, the American consul, Sharpless, tried to advise Pinkerton about Cho-Cho-San, she's love, and also the Japanese costume. But Pinkerton continued with his love philosophy, stupid philosophy. After 3 years, when he came return in Japan to taking this his son with finally this American wife, he see with a butterfly had prepared for him, and he understand finally his mistake and his fault. But it's too late, because butterfly Willa Harakiri.
I have a personal connection to this opera in that my grandfather, Lawrence Taylor, was actually a consul general in Yokohama and then later in Tokyo, Japan, right after the occupation, starting in 1952. And so my mother and my grandmother were there with him, and my mother spent her teenage years as the daughter of a American consul in Japan. So when I'm playing this part, I find myself thinking about what my grandfather's life was like in Japan and how he had to deal with, on a daily basis, all the cultural differences and interactions that Sharpless is dealing with at this exact moment. Point of being is to be our mouthpiece of what we are thinking to ourselves the entire time. No, don't do that. That's what we say to ourselves. Oh, don't do that. No, no. And Sharpless is actually the one saying that for us. He embodies us. So for this to be a tragedy, the story has to run in opposition of what he is saying. Why do people who argue for moderacy and why are they ineffective? That's a really big question. That I think that's one of the reasons why the opera is written is to so that we hopefully next time we'll listen to these people.
I believe that I see what the audience sees. I believe that I represent what the audience... Don't go that way! Like, you know, at the end of Romeo and Juliet, when the letter misses, you know, I've always wanted to say, don't, hurry! Yeah. Go faster, get her, she's not dead! That's who I feel. I'm the person who the audience... we know what's happening. On another really deep angle, I think that I had this image that I was possibly in the geisha home with Butterfly, and that I helped her dress for her evening performances. And I have never seen her so happy. And this maternal desire to have a person experience a spectrum of happiness that I know I will never know. I have a vicarious joy at her joy, but also as a parent who's watching their child ride a bicycle for the first time, you know they're going to fall, but the thrill of the wind in their hair and flying down the street, you don't want to deprive them of that, so you support their joy. Suzuki loves Butterfly. She loves her. She loves her joy. She wants to cushion her falls. And when I kind of see a little bit of a springboard, Pat's character is so youthful and sympathetic. And when she has those down times, I feel that we switch places a little bit. And she tries to lift me up, saying with her optimism, no, it's going to be okay. I promise it's going to be okay. And me knowing that it's not, but I don't want to break her heart.
You're singing Goro, you've sung it many, many times. How do you keep it fresh? You've done the role so many different times. Do you ever discover anything new about Goro?
Well, it's simple. You know, every time you sell a different girl. Well, each production are different. And as I said, if you love a role, and like I do love Goro, and you actually find this is really a lot of energy involved, and you try to make the story a little bit happier at the beginning, and not so down and so dramatic. Of course, by the end, you are the bad person, and people boo you sometimes. But you know, and also just put some imagination and put myself into the scene at that moment, and thinking I am actually in Japan and during the period of time, and those things all help. But it's just the other thing is because the music, the Butterfly, just such a great music, and you will not get tired of it.
The other thing Francesco wants to do is to make sure that things appear truthful on stage. So as actors, we need to make sure that what we're doing fits a period and a moment. Ladies, instead of being geisha, you are officer's wife, ladies of the chorus. And so that needs to have its 1904 feeling. I mean, you can imagine on Coronado over there, and I've got these great hats for the officer's wives, and some of the busyness that's in the orchestra. You'll hear me say, hats, 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 was one of the things that, you know, as you amplify your hand movements, that it just all sort of moves around. It's a great effect to find a different way to hear this music.
The chorus in this is Western, and that is a change. They're meant to be friends and relations of Cho-Cho-San that have come to the wedding. And Francesca and Anita Yavich, who was our costume designer, said that they really didn't want to try and have a bunch of Western chorus in a limited rehearsal time attempt to be geisha. So what if they were officers' wives and friends and folks that work at the American consulate, since we're in this Western theme? And suddenly we got all these Edwardian ladies with their great big hats, and sometimes some of the birds that you heard in the score might be stuffed and sitting on somebody's wig. So it creates this different atmosphere, which I think is also a way into the piece for Americans, because suddenly we are looking at a foreign culture from a very comfortable place. Also, when creating this production, Francesca asked for a community of Asian supers to be the rest of Nagasaki, to be part of this market scene and part of the group that follows the bonds, the sort of spiritual authority in the first act that lets everyone know that Butterfly has renounced her religion. And also to be the other women and children in the waiting room, because the story of Cho-Cho-San and her child, abandoned by an American sailor, unfortunately was not just one. And by having this community, it also informs us. Many of them have life experience that I will never have. They have histories, they have stories of their relatives, and they bring that to rehearsal. And sadness. I need you to run and give a hug to Cho-Cho-San. All right, so can you kneel right here and hug him?
You can come running in and give a big old hug like you did earlier.
I'll give you a hugger. Find right. A good way.
Tackle there, you can find it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That knocks me over. Let it be messy.
That's great. The work with the child is also something that is unique to every situation, because you can't keep bringing back the same four-year-old.
Okay, here comes Billy.
We are very lucky to have a little guy named Billy this time, and Billy brings his own sort of curiosity about the story and a little energy, sometimes too much energy. But that's also part of what live theater is reacting to your surroundings.
Okay, Billy, keep running. Come on. Sometimes the problem with standard repertoire is that we think we know the story and then we forget to tell the story to people who've never experienced the opera before. So by reinvesting in a different approach to the piece, hopefully we can all find a way to hear the music a little bit differently and imagine the different context with all the different people that are here.
Opera being sung emotion, we are trying to find those places where we're actually able to display emotion without getting overwrought ourselves. And Puccini was great at letting the orchestra kind of take over the centerpiece of the opera, the moment where she realizes that the Abraham Lincoln has showed up, and, you know, and he returns, and he loves me, and the orchestra just takes over the entire theme. And that's the place where the designers felt that it should be the first time we turn all the lights on. It's the first time that we open up completely into Butterfly's happiness. And it's a fantastic scenic effect in this very fluid design that you can't really achieve if you're in one location on a house on a hill. But here, we're in an abstract landscape. And using the tools of lighting and stagecraft and, you know, very simple, you know, a drop on the rail and then big light cues. And we suddenly have opened up the crescendo in a way I think that amplifies and illustrates what Puccini's put in his score.
is a feast for the eyes, for the ears, and for the heart, simply put.
Well, and you also had the opportunity to have a little bit of a fight.
Yes.
With Cho-Cho-San.
I love the fight.
And with Suzuki.
I have done many productions of Butterfly, and this one is not so violent for this one.
Throw, da-da, hit.